InvestTalk is brought to you today by Health IQ. People who work out and eat healthy shouldn't have to pay as much for life insurance. That's the whole idea behind Health IQ. If you're a Health IQ customer, you could save up to 33% on your life insurance premium. How do you find out more about it? To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/invest or mention the promo code INVEST when you talk to a Health IQ agent. This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this March 26th edition of Invest Talk. Happy Monday to you. Now, this is our self-help session for investors. We're here to share some ideas or maybe bring you some information that might be helpful to you, help you make some good decisions. And we call it above average investing for the average investor. Been doing that for years and years now. Market Watch, I don't know if you ever look at that website, but I do. I do, and I do really like it. Market Watch reports the Dow and S&P have already doubled the number of 1% moves seen in all of 2017. So all the 1% moves up and down in 2017, we've already seen that many this year, March 26th. The Dow Jones Industrials average had 11 sessions when it rose by at least 1% and 12 where it fell by at least 1%. But of course, that doesn't tell, it's not the big deal of the market. That's not really... But it's not. 1% move is not that big of a deal. Look at what would happen today. But it is like day and night from last year. Just a 1% move. So what does this mean to all of us? All this volatility that's in the market. Does it mean that the market's going to collapse? No. Does it mean that it's going to rise? No. It just means everybody's getting a bit nervous. The market's overvalued, but earnings are doing great, but the Fed is raising interest rates, but Trump is talking about a trade war. Well, he's not talking about it. He's, doing things that may cause it. All these things make people nervous, investors nervous, and we're seeing the volatility as a result. And really, it was predictable. After any long periods of calm or after any long periods of volatility, just the opposite will happen. So we had long periods of calm. Now we're having volatility. We'll have a bunch of volatility, and then we'll have more periods of calm. Don't think that just because there's volatility that means the market's going to go down. It doesn't mean that. It can mean that, but it doesn't have to be true. Our number one job during these hours, this hour, every Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, of course, is to listen to your questions and try to answer them. So our number is 888-99-CHART, and here's one that came in before today's program.
Hi, I have a question. I'm about 30 years old. I have some money in my 401k, I have some money in my IRA, not a whole lot. I've heard your show talk about bond funds, how they're not the greatest spot to put your money. I don't have any bonds currently in my portfolio, but I don't have enough money for an individual advisor, so I can't get individual bonds to hold to maturity. So what would you recommend someone in my situation to do? Should I invest in a bond fund, given the disadvantages, or should I just wait and get with an advisor to get me individual bonds? Thanks.
At 30 years old, you probably shouldn't be involved in bonds whatsoever. Okay? 30 years old, you don't need bonds, especially in this environment with interest rates rising. However, if you're nervous and you don't want to take the risk of the market, I've talked about this last week and the week before. You could do an ultra short bond fund, which is 1 to 3 month bonds, and you can make 1 to 2% interest, closer to 2, maybe a little bit more than that. As the interest rates rise, they just rose that they just increased them last week. You might get closer to 2, 2.25 maybe now. But that's only if you're looking for safety and you're trying to avoid it. But 30 years old bonds, you shouldn't be considering them. Should not be considering them. You're too young. You should be in the market. Yes, the market might fall. What you should do is just keep dollar cost averaging into the market every paycheck And don't even worry about it for the next 10, 20, 30 years. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Okay? Now, we talk about managing risk, and you know I do every day. Maybe, not every day, but most days. Maybe you wonder how a person manages something you can't quite control. For example, if you've ever taken a portfolio management class, one of the first lessons they teach is about unsystematic risk. Unsystematic risk. That means it's unique to a specific company or industry. It's also often called non-systematic risk, specific risk, diversifiable risk, or residual risk. In an investment portfolio, unsystematic risk can be reduced through diversification. Remember, there's different kinds of risks. Types of unsystematic risks include a new competitor in the marketplace. That's a risk. With the potential to take significant market share away from the company you're invested in. It can also be a regulatory change, you know, a change in the law that affects your company, a shift in the management. Those are called unsystematic risks. Or maybe a product recall. It is extremely important to understand that the key to long-term performance is to reduce your unsystematic risks as much as possible. The easiest way to do this is to invest in uncorrelated assets, assets that move in different directions from each other. Stocks, bonds, real estate, gold, or precious metal, they move in different ways, different times. They don't move together up and down. That's uncorrelated risk. And when you get uncorrelated risk in your portfolio, you reduce the risk of the overall portfolio. Mind you, sometimes if you're reducing the risk, you're also reducing the performance. So they go hand in hand there. Okay, so just try to be aware of that. Okay, having said all this, it's also a fact that the fact of life that portfolio of a well-diversified asset cannot escape all risk. You're always going to have risk. It still will be exposed to systematic risk. Remember, I just explained what unsystematic risk was. But systematic risk, which is, you know, the uncertainty that faces the market as a whole. Market goes up, market goes down. Shifts in interest rates change it, presidential elections, financial crises, recessions, wars, that kind of thing. That's another kind of risk. That's a systematic risk. So what's on the table for today? If you have any questions about the risks that you're taking, we can talk about that. But we're going to spend a few minutes today talking about liquidity. Why liquidity matters. Also, I have some other things. The economy is at a peak. How can I tell that? I'm going to tell you how I can tell that. I'm going to give you some, and it's all about the Fed. Looking at what the Fed's doing, I feel that we're near a peak. And again, do you know what an island reversal is? Do you know what that is? Have you ever heard that term, an island reversal? It's a technical term. Technical meaning looking at a chart. Island reversal. We have a major island reversal that happened. Would that mean anything to us? We'll talk about that. Seven places women earn more than the men in the United States. Seven places the women earn more than the men. Now, don't get excited. Not necessarily what you think. Not necessarily that the women are making more money than men. That maybe it's the men just make less. So don't, you know, we'll talk about it. Those are things I'd like to talk about today, but of course, you always come first. What's on your mind is always first. So your call is important to me. This is Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Today's word of wisdom, speculation is an effort, probably unsuccessful, to turn a little money into a lot of money. Investment, today's word of wisdom, investment is an effort which should be successful to prevent a lot of money from becoming a little money. That's from my Fred Schwed, Jr., the book, Where All the Customers' Yachts Are, A Good Hard Look at Wall Street. Glad you're here with me. Take part in the conversation. Ask your questions. Share a comment. 888-99-CHART.
Listening to Invest Talk, and we're listening to you.
I'm into
dilemma of the fear and greed again. In my 401k, I don't have very many choices.
I wanted to get your opinion. I am looking into some kind of some college saving plan.
Get your question to us now at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can reach InvestTalk anytime.
888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you. Give me a call. We'll talk about anything financial. As long as it's about financial stuff, any kind of stuff, I'll be happy to talk to you. Investing basics. Why liquidity matters. Liquidity. And I'm not necessarily just talking about stock liquidity. When you're buying in the stock market, buying in the equities market, bonds, stocks. I'm not just talking about that liquidity, even though that is also important. Some liquidity is you know, depending on how much money you have, depending on how many assets you have and where they are, and the need of liquidity is something that's also very personal, but you have to understand what is liquid and what isn't liquid. And some things that you think is liquid can cost you a fortune when it all of a sudden becomes illiquid. So liquidity does matter a great deal. For instance, you know, from a very basic standpoint of view, stocks are pretty liquid. Real estate isn't. Okay? And that's easy to figure. You know, that's just a very simple thing. But sometimes you are informed that your stocks are not liquid. Certain stocks can be illiquid very quickly. Small cap stocks can become very illiquid. In a falling market where a small company is just crashing, it might be very difficult for you to get out. You may have to lower your price tremendously just to try to attract somebody to get out. Not all stocks are really, really liquid. Small cap, ultra small caps, and then, of course, there's those ones I tell you never to invest in, and that's those penny stocks. Very illiquid. Very illiquid. And then, of course, there's real estate. Most real estate is very illiquid. Now, you can buy REITs, real estate investment trusts, that are traded openly on the market. They're pretty liquid. They're very liquid. You can get in and out. But if you're buying actual real estate, that's not liquid at all. And some of the problems that people have is they put so much money into their real estate, they don't have enough liquidity outside of real estate to support the real estate in times of trouble. What do I mean? But what if you buy a small two-story office building, and you think, great, I'm making big income out of it, and you know, I put 20% down, and it's worth $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is. And then a tenant that has a top floor of your two-story moves out, goes bankrupt, decides it can't pay you. You are now in a liquidity crunch. Can you pay the mortgage, whatever's left? Can you pay all the bills when you have a tenant who isn't even moved out, and you're trying to survive? Pay the mortgage, pay the taxes, pay the cleaning bill, you name it, you're trying to pay it, and your tenant is stiffing you. And you don't have the liquidity to support the building for months. And that does happen, trust me. It's happened to me in rental properties. You know, you had to have enough liquidity. So that's why liquidity matters. You have to really understand, well, gee, I'm now in a very different, I have a friend who put almost all of his assets into one business, and the business is struggling, and he can't even live in his house. He's got to sell his house because he doesn't have liquidity coming in from the business he put all his money in. So liquidity matters greatly, people. So make sure you understand that when you buy something that's illiquid. There's nothing wrong with buying something that's illiquid. It's just that you have to survive. You know how the Federal Reserve and the banking regulations did those stress tests? You have to stress test yourself. What if you lost your tenant? How long can you survive? That's what you need to think about. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Anything financial, we'll talk about. This is Invest Talk. I'm always urging you to pay off your mortgage. You know that. You need to have no mortgage in retirement. Now, some people say, no, don't pay off your mortgage. Invest the money in the market. There's a big difference. Property though it is illiquid, the house you live in, that house, you have to live in. Remember? You have to live in it, and you can't afford it in retirement. 888-99-CHART. I'll be in San Jose next month. Looking forward to meeting you.
InvestTalk continues on a service of KPP Financial. See the selection of innovative investment programs designed for maximum growth or steady income from KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. Check in now with your money question at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. How you doing, Paul? Paul San Jose. How's it going?
I am going to call you Mr. Beasley today because you've made me some money in the past, and I know you will in the future. Hey, I love your show. It's fantastic for us common people out here. And the stock I'm going to ask you about is GE. I don't know if it can go any lower.
Well, it can, but I'm thinking it's really a good bargain at the price it is. GE, everybody, General Electric, manufactures transportation, energy generation, consumer appliance, industrial, and medical equipment. It's a $111 billion company and with only a $12.89 price of a stock. Remember, how big a company is the number of shares outstanding multiplied times the price of the stock. That gives you what we call the market capitalization. Well, this is still a very large company, $111 billion, even though the stock's only $12.89. That tells you it is a big, diverse company. It's going to make $1.06 next year.
They might be, selling some of their different sections of the company. But I've got a two-year time limit for one of my kids for school. What do you think?
I think in 2 years, I think you'll be very happy with General Electric in 2 years. It might not be. I think it'll be at least in the $20 range by that time in 2 years. That's what I think.
Well, you're my man, and I really appreciate your show, Mr. Beasley.
Thanks, Paul. Just call me Steve. General Electric is still having its problems, and, of course, it's going down with the market. You might want to wait till it kind of trades sideways and not be too anxious to jump into it. Even though I think this is a great price, I think over a long period of time, this is a value play. Do you think General Electric is going to go out of business? No. I don't. Do you think what's going to happen is it's going to sell off different divisions that don't necessarily fit their core? And once they get that all on track, then the stock will start to perform a little bit better. Let's go to Jeff in Pennsylvania. How you doing, Jeff?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good. My question's about portfolio strategy. You guys talk about have an idea with what you want to do with the portfolio. And I'm looking to build a portfolio to kind of live off the income. I'm 29 years old. I've got everything in my Roth IRA, and I've been saving up and waiting for everything to kind of bounce back. So I've got $4,000 in cash, and I'm looking at, which is about 50% of my portfolio. I'm looking at like big blue chip kind of dividend stocks. You have the GE, the UPS. Things like that, Teva. And my question is using a 200-day estimated moving average a good idea to use as like a buy point? Because one thing I learned with your show is patience. I watched, GE fall from the 30 to the 13 waiting to buy. Mm-hmm. I've got the cash saved up. I'm looking when to jump in.
Okay. Yeah, 200-day moving average is the long-term moving average of any stock or index. And the rule is if it's above 200-day moving average, that means it's in a bull market. You have a stock that's in a bull phase. Below means a bear phase. So you can use that. I would suggest that you maybe use that for not just the individual stocks, but maybe for, indexes. Whether the market's in a bull market or a bear market. Individual stocks, you want to be a little bit sharper than that. Maybe use, I look at the 20, the 50, the 100, and 200-day moving average. Those are on my screen, all four of those, for every stock I look at, all four.
Yep.
All the time.
I actually have the same ones. I use the Thinkorswim platform, and I've been seeing them dance around and hit that 20-day and then kind of drop back down. So that's why I was calling.
Yep. Yep, they act as support resistance, every one of those. Yep,
okay.
I like Sheen. I do. Good luck. I hope it works for you, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, have a good day. Bye.
You too. A question from Inuvest, Invia? I don't know. I got a question here. An email. Is it an email? Okay. This is from a guy named, it doesn't matter. I read a small book about the benefit of dividend stock investment. By choosing long-established stocks, we can have consistent dividends regardless of the market, which is all true. It seems to say, in the long run, more stable and profitable than bonds. Well, the stock market is, always has been. I don't know if you can say more stable, but it's always been more profitable. So the bond market is very slow, up and down usually, unless you're getting into the high-risk bonds. But generally, the stock market is much more risky than the bond market, but over long periods of time, the stock market has way outperformed the bond market. And I think that's going to be very true in the years to come, number of years to come, that the stock market will be a better place. So, yeah, it is, okay? The stock market's more profitable. The bond market is probably calmer, but it's also safer than the stock market. What do you want? You want safety? 888-99-CHART.
If you're the kind of person who invests in their good health, doesn't it make sense that you should pay less for life insurance? The stats show it clearly. People who eat smart and exercise are 42% less likely to be obese, and they have a 50% lower hospitalization rate. So what's the return on investment for following a healthy lifestyle? Health IQ can save their customers up to a third on life insurance. That's it, up to 33%. That's a healthy return for any investment. InvestTalk is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/invest to see if you qualify. That's healthiq.com/invest. Or mention the promo code INVEST so they'll know you're an InvestTalk listener when you talk with a Health IQ agent. Now let's get back to the podcast. This is InvestTalk, and we're here to talk money management, investing, spending, and saving, financial products like insurance, annuities. Talk to Steve right now. The anytime number, 888-99-CHART.
So why do I think the economy is at a peak? I mean, I'm not saying it won't continue to grow. I'm just thinking that, you know, I think we've seen the beginnings of the market, of the economy peaking. The economy peaking. Now, it continued to go, Ken. I'm not trying to put a kibosh on what's happening out there. And I'll tell you why I feel this way. It had nothing to do with the jobs and employment, even though that's all good and still looks like it could continue to go for some time. And we know the leading economic indicators are signaling a good market, a good economy going forward. But this is why I think we're starting to see a peak. Now, the peak could be just hesitation. It could be, when we're talking about GDP, not the stock market. Gross domestic product. I'm talking about the economy. And this is why. And all has everything to do with the Federal Reserve. Now, you know, the Federal Reserve raised rates last week a quarter point. They're now officially, they're around 1.75%. Inflation is closer to 1.5%. So that is no longer accommodative, where the money is cheaper than inflation going forward. The FOMC, which is the Federal Reserve Open Market, all those 12 regional vice presidents who vote on rate raises and stuff, they have predicted, or they have stated, they think there will be 7 more rate increases to 3.4% by 2020. And I'll tell you this, I think that all by itself would cause us to fall from our peak, not necessarily go into recession. But if they do that, and by the way, this is what they said now, it may be very different 6 months from now, a year from now. And the third thing, the Federal Reserve is running down its balance sheet. So the Federal Reserve has clearly now been in the pulling out liquidity of the economy. Now remember, what drove the economy, or the stock market at least, was all the liquidity they pushed into it. Now they're starting to pull out, and will start from now on to have an effect. Okay, so it's not stopping it. It's not stopping our economy, and we got it rolling, and it will just continue to move in the right direction on momentum by itself. But these three things are a pretty clear signal that the peak is in. Now, did you see what the market did today? The Dow was up 669 points. The Nasdaq up 228 points, and the S&P up 70. Now, we had two huge down days last week. Most of the week last week was down. Two huge down days. And today made up about, I don't know, it was about 60, 65% of those down moves for those 2 days. We're still in the correction mode, everybody. We will be in the correction mode until the market, all the indexes, go above their old highs. We're nowhere even halfway up there. So a good day is all it is a good day. Just a good day today. Your questions come first. We're here for you, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Daniel from New Jersey. I had a question about Geron, G-E-R-N. It's been going a little crazy lately. Just curious what your thoughts are on it. And also, I was wondering, how do you go about listening to your show live? I listen to the podcast, and I've always wanted to listen to it live. Thanks.
Okay, you can listen to it live on your computer. Okay, and I think you can listen to it live. I think that's the easiest way, is on the computer. And we broadcast live through the internet, so you can listen to it on your computer and probably on your handheld device. I just don't know how to do that. I'm too ignorant. And of course, we're live in San Francisco, KDOW, the radio station there. But you can listen to it live anywhere. Anyways, let's look at Geron Corporation. It is a small cap company, $960 million. Stock price is $5.98, and that's a huge 100% increase for just month March alone. It was $2.50 or so at the beginning or end of February, and in March is now $5.98. That tells you how fast. 100% return in a month, not even a whole month. Okay, don't expect it to do that again. I mean, but why did it do that? Well, let's find out what kind of company. It develops telomerase targeted peptide drug conjugate therapies for various cancers. Okay, so, okay, don't ask me. I don't know what that means. I know what cancer means. I know what peptide drug conjugate means, but I don't know what I don't know what that is. Anyways, this company makes no money. They don't plan on making money this year. They're not going to make any money next year. And the reason why it's shot up is because in the most recent quarter, sales went up over 100%. And before that, they were falling. Sales are $200,000 a quarter. That is absolute nothing. This is if you bought this stock, you sell it. This stock has no not going to make money. You know I don't buy these kinds of stocks, so don't make money. Doesn't make any money at all. Doesn't look like it's going to make money. Might have some great something, can't cure for cancer, but until it makes money, these are things that are very highly speculative. You roll a dice on money you don't care about. If you lose it all, fine, on this kind of thing. But after this kind of move up, I'd sell it. You don't buy it after this kind of move up. Let's go to Jim in Indiana. How you doing, Jim?
I am excellent. Hope you are too.
Thank you. I am. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I've got a question about the difference between two different stock tickers that I know that they're connected. I just don't know how. Zion, Zebra, Indigo, Omega, Nancy, and then Zion Z. So it's the same ticker. It's just a Z at the end of it.
Uh-huh. Okay. How that can happen is that one could be shares that are not, you can't vote with those shares, and the other could be votable shares. Okay. For instance, Warren Buffett's company has two, they call them share classes, two different share class A and share class B. And the prices are massively different, but it's the same company. They go up and down the same percentage, but price-wise, they're massively different in price. So this could be, are both of them Zion Bank Corp? I mean, are they exact same company with just two different shares? Same tickers?
As far as I can tell. But when I looked at the fundamentals of Zion Z, there wasn't anything there. You had to look at Zion to get any information about the company.
Okay. Then it is just a different share class, a different class of shares, and that class means they have something different. Usually it's a restriction of shareholder rights. In other words, you don't get the vote on the board of directors where the other one does. I mean, it's that kind of difference. So it's the same company, but two different share classes. And you have to find out what one does and what the other does, you know, that what's the difference. But they're the same company, so you don't have to worry about that part. They should go up and down virtually the same. Okay?
But not necessarily connected precisely. It's just when they go up and down, you know, 1%, both of them go approximately 1%.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, you're exactly right. Remember, they're the same exact company, but it's a different share class. And what drives stock prices is nothing more than a buyer and a seller bidding on it. So they can have a little bit of difference just because, you know, you got different buyers and sellers, even though it's the same company. That's possible.
Got it.
Jim, appreciate the call. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. We have the March 2018 market update and forecast for you. Also, there's a series of special watch lists, like the list of real estate investment trusts. We have that. REITs, real estate investment trusts, and various sectors. There's a short ETF list with pays dividend and the income investing series. It's all for you at investtalk.com, and it's free. When you sign up to InvestTalk to become an insider. It's all free, all that information. We have an open line ready for your comments or what do you ever want to talk about in today's economy. We'll talk about it. Any money topic, 888-99-CHART.
Oh, sure, there are plenty of opportunities, but buying and owning real estate can be a lot more complicated than investing in stocks and bonds. If you have questions about real estate investing or whether to invest in your own home, maybe downsize, sell, and move to a more manageable home, ask our in-house licensed real estate consultant, Justin Klein. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Got a Question, and he'll get back to you.
888-99-CHART, do you know what an island reversal top is? You've ever heard that term? An island in technical terms. Technical terms, remember, whenever I say that, I'm looking at a chart. A chart, it's usually a one-year chart, a daily one-year chart is where we start. Everybody starts with the same one, so you should too. And we're looking at it. And an island top was put in on the NASDAQ. Take a look at it. Now, what is an island top, first of all? Okay, remember, it's a technical read. And what it is it's if you, there's a book that's on my website that you can buy. That is the call. It's usually the, most people consider it the book on technical analysis, reading charts, called Technical Analysis and Stock Trends. It first was printed in 1948. It's not a cheap book. It's expensive. But island tops happens usually in a pretty compact range. In other words, within a few days to a week or two. What happens is in an island top on the left, as the stock will gap up and then stay up there for a few days or a week or two and then gap down on another day. And usually about the same price it gaps down to when it started to gap up, about the same price. That's called an island top. It looks like an island. It looks like it's at the top of something. That happened to NASDAQ. That is a negative for whatever stock, index, whatever you're looking at. Technically, that is negative. Technically. So whenever you see an island top, think of it as a negative event and expect it further weakness. And of course, if you look at this island top, it happened right at the latter part of March, and here it is toward the end of March, and the market's fallen pretty hard the last week or so. Up big day today. So that's an island top. Now, try to remember, you got to have gaps, the left side and the right side. What would an island bottom look like? It does the same thing, except it's on the bottom of a down chart. And it's positive. It's considered to be a positive to the market. That, and remember, all this is people buying and selling stocks. And all I'm talking about is years and years and years of studying charts, what tends to happen. Chart reading is not a science. It's an art. They try to make it out of science because they analyze it so minutely that they act like it's a science, and it is not. It is not. We're open to any money questions, whether it's about chart patterns or long-term care insurance. I don't care. Whatever, as long as it's financial, we're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I just had a question about the stock ACIA. I think I bought it around when it was around $50, and I know it's been dropping, so just wondering what you thought about it and whether it's I should kind of get out of it right now. So if you can help, that'd be great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so first thing I'm going to do is look at the fundamentals like I always do. It's Acacia Communications. It is a $1.6 billion company, so it's a small cap company. They make money, have made money, continue to make money for some time. But they came out only public in 2013, so it hasn't been around that long. It's going to make $1.75 this year, but it made $3.17 last year. Okay, it's going to make $1.73 next year. Okay, so that's pretty flat. And the sales are falling the last three quarters by 32%, 22%, now 39%. Sales are falling. And before that, the sales were growing very fast. So it's one of those kinds of companies, very great things, bad things. Depends on the company. Hasn't been around that long, only since 2013. So we don't have a lot of history. Return on equity is 16%, which is pretty good. They're going to make $1.73 next year. It's a $40 stock. Okay, so it's not cheap. So, you know, it depends on your outlook. It's coming off a bottom, and it's just having some short-term weakness. I don't think I would hold on to it wait for it to break the 50-day moving average, I think, which is about 39.50 or so. This is Invest Talk, everybody. Love to talk to you.
Let's get back to your calls on Invest Talk for this Monday, March 26th. It's designed to make a positive return, regardless of market conditions or asset class, equities, bonds, or a combination. Absolute return investing, a strategy for all markets? That's next time. If you have a question for Steve right now about any money matter, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Good, Steve. Steve, I'm calling regarding Facebook. What do you think its relation to the NASDAQ Island topping and its valuations are based on the charts where it can go? Because it has serious issues.
Yeah. Well, you saw it today. It really had a really steep down day and then recovered most of that, almost all of it. Matter of fact, it actually was up 67 cents for the day. But it fell to $150 and ended up being $160.06 today. And that $150 mark, menu, I think that's probably its bottom. Because back in May, June, July of last year, it was about 150, and it kind of traveled in that area for a good all those 3 months before it broke out. So I think that's where the bottom is. It's Facebook. They have political problems, man. So it's very hard to know that the political – when will the political problems be behind them? They're going to be investigated, and they're going to be in the news. So I think you're going to have some wild ride for a little while here on Facebook. But the value, I mean, it's going to make $8.82. That's a 20 PE. And for its growth, I think that's a pretty fair value. I mean, I think it's right where it is fairly reasonable price for its growth rate and sales. Now, the question is it going to have, problems there? With the politics. It's the politics, man.
It has impacted. There is not a U.S. issue. Facebook data has been used in Indian elections, as well as in Kenya, as well as in Nigeria, and you never know in any other country. So it has been
around the world.
So that is not a big issue. That can have the same earnings.
It can't. See, this is what's wrong with political issues. It's hard to know if I don't think their problems are behind them yet. It's still too early in this process, and you don't want to invest in it and during this process. You want these problems to be behind you, and I think it's a bit too early to know that yet. Mike, appreciate the call. Let's go to John in Glendale. Try to get him in before the end of the hour. How you doing, John?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for taking my call. Great program. Just a quick question. Do you ever use options as a deciding point for buying or selling stocks?
I don't use an options for a decision making, but I do have an options program where I use options for income producing, for stocks that I'm going to hold anyways. I want to hold these stocks. But I have options on them just so I can make extra income as I'm holding them. We have a program called Equity Income Plus, and we use options in that to get that plus, that income. So plus the dividends, of course. But we can get another 1% a month or so on the options. So I do like that. But I don't use it for decision-making to buy or sell a stock. No, I don't. Not for options. I don't use options to do that. Okay?
Another quick question that you're talking about the panic selling. If these stocks are held by institutions to the tune of 85-90%, who's going to be panic selling in order to make sure that we're over
institutions.
The hump?
Institutions. You don't think they don't panic? They do. You think that they wouldn't. You would think that they're whole buy and holders and they're much more. No. No, surprisingly. Hedge funds guys, those guys are moving in and out faster than you can blink your eye. And they're supposed to, every institution I know out there, there's some kind of panic in many of them. Remember, they're made up of a bunch of individuals, a bunch of managers, and a bunch of different classes. So, plus individuals will panic too. Doesn't matter, you'll get at that too. So, don't think the institutions are all that smarter than you are, John. They're not. Okay, trying to wrap it up, everybody. You can see more about today's talking point, why liquidity matters, right there on investtalk.com if you want to do that. And there's a link to a replay of today's program if you want to re-listen to it. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Justin Klein and I thank you for making this part of your day. Let's do it again tomorrow, Tuesday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.